Good morning, everybody. Let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, we come to you this Sunday morning, Lord, and we just want to tell you we love you and we thank you. We thank you for a beautiful morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be before you. And Lord, we just ask that you send your Holy Spirit and just speak to us and help us start our day out with you. Lord, we thank you so much for everything, and we just praise you, and we just ask to hear from you now, and just ask for guidance and wisdom. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about today is something I've talked about many times before, and I'm really big on back to basics. So what I thought I'd talk about is, well, you know, a lot of us know Jesus, but are we really growing in our walk with Jesus? Or are we just kind of drifting along and things ain't all that good and we're just trying to get by? So I wanted to read a few scriptures. You know, obviously it's got to start with knowing Jesus first. And the way we get to that, to talk about that, I got to read my favorite scripture that you guys have heard me read many times, but I'm going to read it again. It's in Romans 10, starting in verse 9. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who come on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the start. We have to submit to Jesus as our Savior. We have to accept him as our Savior. But we can't just say that we do. We got to really do it. And when we do that, a change happens in us. And we're, as a lot of people say, we're born again. We are a different person once we do that. Well, what's the next thing we do? Okay, I mean, now we're born again, so great. Now we just go on and live our merry little lives, right? Well, the second thing that we're asked to do is something that you don't hear us talk a whole lot out here at the racetrack, but it's still an important step. Jesus asked us to be baptized. Now, if you read, here's Peter talking. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, being baptized does not forgive your sins. Accepting Jesus as your Savior is what forgives your sins. But baptism is like the first step to obedience. It's like saying, you know, now that I submit to Jesus, what does he want me to do? And baptism is the first thing that he'd ask us to do. And if you read through Acts, you'll notice, I mean, people were baptized real regular, real quick. It wasn't like they got saved today and then baptized 5 years later. They did it like right then. I want to read a little further in that. It says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God calls us to serve him. And it's really easy to ignore the little tug on your heart when he wants you to follow him. It's so easy to say, nah, I don't want none of that. I did it for years. And then finally, I figured out that that was the best way to go, and I answered the call, and I made a decision for Christ. And then we know we're different. But we'll go on. It says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And that's a pretty strong word, you know, to save yourself from the corrupt generation. Well, what do we need saved from? Well, all we got to do is turn on the television, look around a little bit, and see what's going on. And, yeah, there might be a reason we need saved from a few things. And I'm not going to point out anything specific. I mean, you can use your own judgment on that. Just look at it. But it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Boy, that's some baptized in there, 3,000 people. That's just fine. That's just awesome, I think. But we don't, you know, typically you don't hear much talk of baptism when you get away from the church. And even in churches, you don't hear that much talk about it, not like they used to. A lot of the fundamentals still are there. So, okay, so now we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. That's awesome. We did the first thing we were asked to do. We got baptized. So, okay, now we can go on and live our merry little way, right? We don't have to do anything else. We're cool. Well, it would be great if that was it. But it's just like, and I use the comparison a lot. You've heard me do it before. It's just like motocross. Just because you put on the riding gear and you get you a nice motorcycle don't make you a rider. And even when you go out there and do a few laps, you know, it doesn't make you a good motocrosser. Well, same thing with being a Christian. You receive Jesus as your Savior. You get all baptized. You're all good to go. But if you don't practice what you do, what you just did, if you don't practice it and learn it, you're never going to get any better than where you're at right now. It doesn't mean you're not saved and going to heaven. It just means life won't get better. And life on earth is hard. I heard a preacher say one time, Christianity is not for sissies. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Because before you're saved, you can just live however you want. It doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want. Nobody's going to tell you any different. Well, now that you know Jesus, all of a sudden, you got the good voice and the bad voice. I always, you know, talk about the little angel sitting on your shoulder. You got good here and bad here. And every morning when you get up, you got to make a decision. How am I going to live this day? You go to work. You know, you're sitting around the coffee table at work and they're talking all kinds of trash and stuff. And you have a choice. Do I participate or do I walk away? You know, you've got decisions all day long where before it didn't really bother you. But now it does. But how do you know how you're supposed to live? Well, we got to know God's word. We can't think we know it if we don't read the rule book. I mean, the Bible is the word of God. If we accept that it is, well, we need to read it. We need to study it. And when we read the Bible, God points stuff out to us. Now, there are a lot of times you'll read scripture and you'll find a verse or two and you just can't get it to make a whole lot of sense to you. Well, skip over those two and just move on. You might understand them the next time you read them. God reveals stuff to you as you need it. And he's not going to give you stuff that, you know, that doesn't really apply to you at the moment. So if you don't understand it, don't worry about it. If you're reading the King James Bible and it's hard to read, well, read the NIV Bible. You know, maybe that one's a little easier to read. Compare the two. I mean, there's commentaries that go along with Bibles nowadays. I mean, they make it easy for us. I mean, you think about it back in the early days, like what I was reading, you know, Peter and Acts, they didn't have the Bible then. They had some letters from Paul, and they had a few things, but not like we do now. I mean, we have it easy if you think about it, because it's all put in a nice book, and we can read it and stuff. So that's pretty cool. Between reading the Bible ourselves and reading commentaries and stuff, well, we can learn. But that's not enough either. We need to get together just like we're doing here. Now, there's a scripture that I want to read out of Hebrews, and it's Hebrews 10, verse 23-5. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." That's awesome. We love the fact that he's faithful. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Hey, we need one another. We can't do it on our own. There's no such thing as a loner Christian. It just doesn't work very good. Because when you're down, somebody needs to pick you up. And that's when your brothers and sisters need to be there to pick you up. But then it also goes on. It says, "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." Hey, I don't think that necessarily means you got to be in the church building every Sunday morning. You can be right here just like we are doing right now. You can have a little get-together at your house with three or four of your Christian friends, and you can have church right there. It doesn't have to be a big corporate thing in the big mega church and all this stuff. But you need to hang out with other Christians, because if you don't, you stumble and fall. Yeah, and it says, if you go on, it says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And then it says, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Again, it's a warning us. At some point, it's going to be over. And I don't know if that's today, if it's in 1,000 years, 2,000 years. But, you know, there is a negative decline in the world that apart from Jesus Christ, it's just going to keep getting worse. There is evil in the world, whether we want to admit it or not. Like it says right there, we got to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's do that. Let's hang out together. Let's talk. Let's do, you know, let's meet together like the Bible says. Because if we do that, that's how we grow. You know, I've heard people say, iron sharpens iron. You know, you don't even have to agree on everything. A good friend of ours just passed away here a couple of weeks ago, and his name was Riley. And me and him would have some of the most heated discussions you ever heard. I mean, my wife used to say, you guys argue, you don't discuss. No, not really. We just got a little heated here and there. But iron sharpens iron. I mean, that was some good discussions, and we learned a lot from one another. You know, you need to read the Bible. You need to figure out what it says. When you go to church, like when you hear me reading stuff, it's a really good idea for you to go and read it yourself also. Because I would never on purpose lead anybody wrong. But people make mistakes. What if somebody tells you something that's wrong? If you're in the Word of God and you read it a lot, you get these little flags that come up, is what I call them. Somebody says something, I turn on some of the TV preachers and some of the radio preachers, and you're listening, and a little flag comes up going, well, I wonder where he's getting this. And then you go in the Bible and you look. You know, sometimes it's not a yellow flag. Sometimes it's a red flag. Then you really got to look. You're like, wait a minute, where did they get that? Because the Bible warns, you know, there's people. There's people that do this for money. There's people that do this for all kinds of reasons. And I'm not slamming all TV preachers, because there are some good ones on TV too, but you got to watch it. And if you don't double check it, man, you can get led astray. Double check what you hear. And if you do and apply these things, you know, that's how you grow. Our life can be better. And I've proven it to myself, not on purpose, because you don't want to drift away from God. But, you know, you get into this cycle and you just kind of go on and you're out there doing your thing. And next thing you know, you're going, wow, what happened? And you go back to God and, you know, you want that feeling of peace inside of you. Well, the only way you'll get that is if you stay plugged into the Word. And I want to read one more verse. That's a really important one. James 1:22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We can't expect to grow if we don't apply it. I mean, we can, you know the Bible front to back, know every word in it, but if we don't apply it, why would it make any difference? And, you know, I run into people that struggle with stuff, and, you know, you talk and you feel sorry for them and you pray with them. And you run into them 3 weeks later, and everything's still the same. You run into them 3 weeks later, everything's still the same. You start asking, well, are you doing this? Well, no. Well, are you applying this? Well, no. We talked about it. Well, it ain't going to change. We got to apply what we learned. That's how we grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, you gave us an instruction book, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's a history, it's instructions, it's a lot of things. If we not just read it, and if we apply it to our lives will be better here on earth. And it won't just be better. I mean, it's okay to know that we're going to be with you someday, but it's got to be better here. Man, so many of us are just miserable because we don't apply your word like we should. Father, I ask right now that you just touch everyone here with your Holy Spirit. Give them the desire to know more about you. Just draw them closer to you and say, hey, here it is. Just look at it. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for making the Bible to where we can understand it. Now we have so many options. We just have different Bibles that make it easier for us than people used to have it. We thank you for that also. So, Father, as we start this day and get ready to go racing, we thank you for allowing us to start the day with you. And as I always say, we want to have this day and do it for your glory and not for ourselves. We want to glorify you in everything we do. Father, be with us. Protect us. It's a really hot day today, and it's easy for people to get dehydrated. I just ask that you be with every one of us. Let us be safe. Let us enjoy the day. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you all for coming.